Hey everyone, it's Ryan here with Cardinal Aviation. Welcome to episode number 49 of the Cardinal Aviation Audio Briefings. Thank you so much for joining me. Really happy to have you here for this episode. And today I want to talk, still on the decision-making theme, but we're going to talk about hazardous attitudes. But before we do that, I want to thank Jeff McKay for sponsoring this episode. Jeff went on to the Cardinal Aviation website, the podcast page, and clicked on support the podcast and became an annual subscriber. So we'll be sending him his thank you gift in the mail. And we thank him for bringing you this episode. If you want to support what we're doing, you can go ahead and go to that page on our website. You can buy us a coffee, become an annual subscriber, pick up some gear. We also just this week became a distributor of Pivot gear. And Pivot, I started using about 6 months ago, and it's amazing. iPad cases, iPad mounts for the airplane, especially if you're someone like me that moves from airplane to airplane to airplane, they've kind of got a solution that works really well without having to take the iPad out of its case and put it into a cradle, and you risk dropping it out of the airplane or cracking it, whichever. The mounting attachment is actually built right into the iPad case, and it just slides right onto a mount. I've got one permanently attached in my airplane. I've got a kneeboard one that I can take with me from airplane to airplane and just have the iPad firmly attached on my leg so I don't risk it getting jammed up on anything, as well as a great suction cup mount that I use today in Thomas's Mall. So if you want to check out any of the Pivot gear that we have, it's the same prices as the Pivot website. We're working with them, but it'll be in Canadian dollars. cardinalaviation.ca/store. It's all there. All right, that's enough plugging stuff. I just wanted to say thanks to Jeff and mention that good stuff there. But what I really wanted to talk about today is hazardous attitudes. And some of you may have heard about some of these before in ground school when they talked about human factors. And the reason why I bring it up was the other day I got an email from a listener. That listener basically asked me what they should do because there's a pilot who has flown with a few people, and those people are pilots, and they might be doing something that has kind of raised the concern of some of the other pilots that they're flying with. And the pilots that they're flying with are raising those concerns, maybe giving a little bit of feedback, and we call that kind of crew resource management. You know, even if you're in a Piper Warrior or a Mall or whatever it is, any airplane, whether it's a piston single or a jet, anytime you have one pilot in there, you know, there's crew resource management involved, but that's more surrounding the single pilot operation. But anytime you have two pilots in there, even if it is a single pilot airplane, any good pilot that believes in crew resource management will say to their passenger, whether they're a pilot or not, hey, look, I'm going to do my best here. If you see anything that concerns you, if you see anything that you feel may be a safety hazard, please feel free to speak up. Please let your concerns be known and we can at least talk about them. And it doesn't matter if you're a longtime airline captain or a new first officer or two private pilots in the airplane. Anytime you've got two pilots in the airplane, both pilots' concerns, opinions, ideas do matter. And yes, the final decision for the safety of the flight rests with the pilot in command, but we all have different training. We all have different experiences, and we've all been shown different ways to do things. And that is why I wanted to talk about the five hazardous attitudes. Now, I'm not going to sit here on a pedestal and say that I'm perfect, that I've never displayed any of these, because you're damn right, I have. At some point or another in my career, I've probably displayed every single one of these. And I mean, we can take the cop out and say, well, it's human nature, and it is. But the important thing is that by recognizing them, we can catch ourselves in them and make the necessary corrections. In my mind, the mark of a good pilot isn't somebody who has never displayed a hazardous attitude. It's the pilot that recognizes when any of the five hazardous attitudes are encroaching on their decision-making and sees that beast kind of rearing its head and recognizes it and makes the necessary correction to combat them. So rather than reinventing the wheel, I'm referencing the FAA's Aeronautical Decision-Making Handbook. And this is a really good document. It covers a lot of human factors, a lot of decision-making, a lot of risk analysis, and it also describes the five hazardous attitudes really, really well. So I'm going to go ahead and pretty much just read out of the FAA Aeronautical Decision-Making Manual about the five hazardous attitudes. So when we talk about the hazardous attitude, there's what the attitude is called, and then there's a quote. It's kind of like a, you might be displaying this hazardous attitude if you say something along the lines of. And then there's an antidote. And the antidote is, it's like the cure. It's if you feel yourself saying this thing, maybe change that statement around to the antidote and you can combat the hazardous attitude. So the first one is actually fairly common. It's called anti-authority. And the trigger for anti-authority, or what you may say to yourself if you are experiencing an anti-authority hazardous attitude is, don't tell me, you know, don't tell me what to do. I know better. Who are you to have control over me? I mean, whatever it is, any variation of don't tell me. And for anti-authority, it's this attitude is found in people who do not like anyone telling them what to do. In a sense, they're saying no one can tell me what to do. They may be resentful of having somebody tell them what to do, or may regard rules, regulations, and procedures as silly or unnecessary. However, it is always your prerogative to question authority if you feel it is an error. And the antidote to that is just follow the rules. They're usually right. Okay, so that's the first one. The second one is impulsivity. And this is one I feel that if any of these apply to me personally, I think impulsivity would be the hazardous attitude that I need to work the hardest at combating. And the statement that is the trigger for impulsivity is do it quickly. You know, we're running out of time. We got to be there by this time. And the description of the impulsivity hazardous attitude is this is the attitude of people who frequently feel the need to do something, anything immediately. They don't stop to think what they're about to do. They do not select the best alternative, and they do the first thing that comes to mind. And the antidote to that is not so fast. Think first. The third one is called invulnerability. And this one is the one that scares me the most personally. And the trigger statement for invulnerability is it's not going to happen to me. And the description for this hazardous attitude is many people falsely believe that accidents happen to others, but never to them. They know accidents can happen, and they know that anyone can be affected. However, they never really feel or believe that they will personally be involved. Pilots who think this way are more likely to take chances and increase risk. And the antidote to this one is so simple. All it is it could happen to me. The fourth hazardous attitude is a big one, and it's called macho. And the trigger statement for macho is, I can do it. And the description of this is pilots who are always trying to prove that they are better than anyone else think, I can do it, I'll show them. Pilots with this type of attitude will try and prove themselves by taking risks in order to impress others. And while this pattern is thought to be a male characteristic, women are equally susceptible. And the antidote to this is taking chances is foolish. It's really a risk management one. And the fifth one is resignation. The trigger statement for resignation is, what's the use? And pilots who think what's the use, they don't see themselves as being able to make a great deal of difference in what happens to them. When things go well, this pilot is apt to think that it was good luck. And when things go badly, they feel that somebody is out to get them or attribute it to bad luck. The pilot will leave the action to others for better or worse. Sometimes such pilots will even go along with unreasonable requests just to be the nice guy. And the antidote to this is, I'm not helpless. I can make a difference. I don't feel like I really need to comment on each one of those specifically. If you want to take some more time to read them and digest them for yourself, go ahead and look up the FAA Aeronautical Decision-Making Handbook. It's for free. It's online. There's some fantastic material there. Make yourself a cup of coffee, pour yourself a cup of tea, whatever it is. And I encourage you to read through this document and do it through a reflective lens. Meaning, read all these statements, read all the human factors stuff, the risk analysis stuff, and then just take a personal inventory. Am I susceptible to any of these? And what of these can I do to enhance the safety in my flying? None of us are going to be 100% perfect in any of this stuff, but just being aware of it is half the battle. So the reason I recorded this episode and the reason why I bring all this up is just to give everyone a little bit of time and something to reflect on. The next time you're in an airplane with somebody, whether they've got 500 hours less than you or 3,000 hours more than you, just remember that their experience and their opinions do matter in your decisions. And as a pilot in command, as a leader, that you have a responsibility to hear them out. All right, everyone, that's all I've got for today. Thank you so much for sticking with me. Thanks for listening to this, because it is a very important message. It is something that is important to me and I think can make a difference in your flying, in your interaction with the people that you fly with. If you like the content that we're putting out, go ahead, visit cardinalaviation.ca. You can check out all the services that we provide, from tailwheel training to advanced IFR operations, systems management, automation management, consulting, ferry flying. Whatever it is that you need, we've got for you, or we'll help you find the person that can take care of you. If you want to give us any feedback, we love hearing from you. info@cardinalaviation.ca, or visit us online at Instagram @cardinalaviation. Until next time, fly safely, never stop learning, and take care of yourself.